This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome aboard, everybody. It is a car show from car guys and gals that love cars, that eat cars and drink cars and drive cars. Yes, we are car people. George Kennedy III from Car Guru's Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report, and whatever else he writes for. I'm sure that's not all.
How are we doing?
I'm doing good, man. Did I say that right? We eat, drink, and drive cars.
Any way that we can ingest cars, I believe, is the way it would go.
Totally. I mean, I'll give you an example. I had the honor of being friends with Vic Edelbrock. And for those car guys and gals out there that know the Edelbrock name, it is all about performance, historic. And he passed, it's been probably a year ago. And I spent, maybe a decade with the family and got to know them very well. His wife, Nancy, his daughter, Christy, and Cammy. And I didn't get to know the other kids. I think he has another daughter. I met her once, like 10 years ago. But anyway, I was at the Monterey Historic Races in Carmel, and he says to me, "Hey, tonight's my birthday. Why don't you come on over to the boat and we're going to celebrate?" And I'm like, okay. The boat, it was called Victorious. And let me tell you, the boat at 130 feet long was a small hotel floating on the water. I mean, huge, right? 130 feet is the equivalent of about a 12,000 square foot house. You know what I mean? It's gigantic. And the reason why I'm telling you the story is because when the birthday cake came out, what was it? A giant race car. You know what I mean? So we do eat and drink and drive and live this hobby, and it's fun. Anyway, God rest his soul.
He was a big carburetor.
No, that would be a hard cake to make. It was actually his his race car. It was a black and red Mustang because that's what he was driving at the time. Anyway,
Cool.
So you are going to talk about a car that I am about to literally go and drive this weekend. Any moment now, I will be leaving the studio and getting in a Kia Stinger GT. So this is exciting now because I'm as soon as I'm done with the show, I go out and I drive this car. Now, I've driven it before, and it's an awesome machine, but here is your chance to, start us off because this is a car that is a game changer in so many ways. For Kia, it's not even funny. So what is the Kia Stinger GT? How do you describe this to people?
I would describe it as a four-door sports car, sort of in the like of the Audi A7 and cars of that ilk in the Mercedes CLS class. And that's pretty interesting names to be dropping in the same breadth as the Kia.
Well, Hold on. You said it right there. The Audi A7, it actually looks like one. And, by the way, the Audi designer... The same designer designed the A7 and the Kia Stinger. So, I don't know if it was the exact same person, but head of Audi design was plucked out and moved across. They hired him along with the same thing they did with the head of M Performance Engineering for BMW's M Series cars, which is their performance cars. So they took Audi's designer, they took BMW's performance engineer, and they decided to build this thing called a Stinger, which looks and feels like some of these cars you just described.
Right. Well, the guy you're referring to is Peter Schreier. Right. And one of the things that he said when this car debuted was they wanted it to evoke the idea of the grand touring cars of back in the day. And so you think of a grand touring car as basically a big, beamy, yet, pretty athletic, high-performance luxury sedan or luxury coupe, I should say. And this car fits the bill. It looks a little bit more modern, a little bit more attainable than sort of a high-end car, but it's it's got all the right curves. It's got all the right, you know, it's low, it's wide. Unfortunately, some of those vents that are on it are not functional, which kind of cheapens it a little bit for me. But all in all, it's a very dramatic looking car. And so from a look standpoint, you know, if we're going to judge a book by its cover, they've sold it on that far.
Yeah, well, it's got Brembo brakes, got a V6 twin turbo. We'll tell you more on the other side. We're talking to George Kennedy III, Car Gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report, and The Drive with Alan Taylor. The Kia Stinger is an awesome machine, very well priced if you want a sporty sports car that has four doors and a lift back. Take a little break. Be right back with more. Show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. Stay with us.
Dig if you will the picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. The sweat of the
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Well, we've got George Kennedy with us. He's talking about a brand new car from Kia. It's called the Stinger, and he's driving the Stinger GT. I happen to think this is a totally hot car, and it starts in the 30s. You can buy a car, you know, if you bought the Audi, it was starting in the 50s, probably, a version of this V6 twin turbo. You can get it with all-wheel drive. Which one did you have? Did you have all-wheel drive, George? You have the two-wheel drive, front-wheel drive?
We had the range-topping GT2. So when you look at the trims, there's you know, the base model's 31.9. To get into a GT, I think you're looking at, like, 38. And the GT comes with the twin-turbo V6. But we drove the GT2 all-wheel drive, which was in the neighborhood of $52,000. And I'm sure some of your listeners are going to scoff, you know, 52 grand for a Kia. But then you have to ask, does it live up to the hype? And from that standpoint, I would say it does. I mean, you got to think about what's going on under the hood. The twin turbo V6 makes, what is it? It's something in the neighborhood of
375 horsepower. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, 365 horsepower, 376 pound feet of torque. With the all wheel drive, 0 to 60 in 4.4 seconds, that's no joke.
Yeah. Now, and aren't these cars, if they're not all wheel drive, aren't they rear wheel drive?
That's right. And I think that's the big standout is that it's not one of the, you know, when you see, you know, there's all-wheel drive cars that are front biased or based on front wheel, like, you know, base level Audis that have Quattro, you know, that's still a front wheel drive car that sends power back. This is a tried and true, you know, longitudinally mounted rear drive car. And that makes it, you know, far more in line with higher performance cars.
Right, right. It's odd when you say Kia in front of what all of you're describing, because Kia has been a, you know, affordably priced car maker, right? These cars are, you know, starting at like $14,000, and then all of a sudden they came out with the K900, which was like, I don't know, 50 grand or 60 grand, whatever they, you know, whatever they are. And then all of a sudden now they've got this thing, which is a game changer for them. And they make it to where, of course, yes, there was a gigantic spread between the starting price of 31.9 and the, if you have the end-all with everything, 52 grand. But I was looking at an Audi that was an RS5, I think, that had a similar shape, right? Four doors,
right,
rear hatch,
right.
$80,000. So there's like a, you know, a tremendous difference between these cars, when they're, if you set them side by side, they're pretty comparable. Now, I'm not saying that the Kia Stinger would keep up with that particular Audi or not. I don't know, because that would be a fun comparo right there, wouldn't it? You know, similar cars.
But if you bring up a good point, that is, I find that the assumptions about Kia are always an uphill battle, especially when I'm talking to folks that just tangentially pay attention to cars.
Right.
Whenever I bring up, hey, you're looking for an affordable small car, get a Soul. They're like, well, aren't Kias cheap? You know, when I do work with U.S. News and World Report, the Soul is voted the number one car over the Civic.
You're
over
kidding.
The Corolla.
The Kia Soul?
So,
wow.
because it delivers so much for the price.
Right.
It beats them on price. It's got like actual usable space inside. It's got SUV level space. And so any corner of the lineup, I feel like the assumptions are a bit of an uphill battle where it's trying to disprove its discount heritage, I should say.
Right. You know what? And that's where they're at right now. I mean, if you look back a decade or more, whenever they, how long has it been since they came out with that 10-year, 100,000-mile drivetrain warranty? That was a game changer for them. And people are like, yeah. Well, you know, 10 years or 100,000 miles, what do I got to lose, right? So then they tried them, and they're like, hey, these are pretty nice cars. Interesting, the news of last week was Ford Motor Company says we're not going to build, you know, cars anymore except the Mustang and one other one, which I can't remember. But why? Because you just made a very good point, didn't even realize it. The Kia Soul was the number one over all these other cars. You know why? It's a little utility, a little ute, you know? And that's what's right. big well, right now. People are buying these crossover vehicles and little utilities.
I'm so glad you brought that up because the Ford thing kind of bothered me. And I know if you talk to some of the folks that you and I know in different automotive circles, it's obviously been causing a lot of discussion.
Oh, man. And big time.
I know, right? I think it's a major misstep on Ford's part.
All right, well, let's do this.
I won't.
Yeah, I want to talk about it, but on the other side of the break.
Yeah.
Thumbs up on the Kia Stinger GT. I mean, from everything I've heard, two thumbs up. Me too, man, and I cannot wait. I'm going to take like a 500-mile trip this weekend and into a little bit into next week. And I'm gonna give the full report. We're going to come back with more of George Kennedy talking about Ford's news. Yes, it's controversial. This is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Craftsman is celebrating over 90 years of innovation. Since 1927, they've put hardworking tools into the hands of makers and mechanics. I've had Craftsman tools in my garage for decades, so I know firsthand that Craftsman comprehensive automotive tools and garage storage solutions will help you tackle your next project with confidence, whether you be a shade tree mechanic or a certified pro. So visit your local Ace Hardware or check out Craftsman.com to shop the latest hand tools, power tools, lawn and garden equipment, smart products, storage solutions, and a whole lot more. That's Craftsman.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. We're talking to George Kick-Ass Kennedy, the third, that is. Boston Globe, Car Guru's U.S. News and World Report, and The Drive with Alan Taylor. So we were talking about the Kia Stinger, and all of a sudden we moved across to the news about Ford Motor Company. I don't know if you guys heard it or not, but their new president made a big announcement that they were going to stop building cars, except the Mustang, which is the number one best-selling sporty car in the world. And what other car? I can't even remember what other car. It is sad that I can't remember.
It was the
Fusion?
Focus.
Active. Yeah.
The Focus Active. So just the little quasi-compact crossover version of the Focus, which is a little too bad.
So I get it. I get it that they're going, you know what? In order to keep up with the Joneses, we better start making more SUVs and stop building things that aren't selling. You know, if they're not selling, why make them? The scuttlebutt on the street is that that may be a death knell for that guy. That new president can't even think of his name because they've been through, this is the third one in the last year, you know?
I can't even think of it either. But what I will say is that I think this has more to do with the surface value of crossovers are selling hot and of other cars are not. Because if it was just that, then Toyota would stop making the Corolla and stuff like that. I think it goes a little bit further. And I think it has a lot to do with Ford shareholders being unhappy with their returns in the context of how well Tesla does as a stock, right? So you see, you know, if you're a Ford shareholder and you see Tesla doing well, you're like, well, they barely sell cars. You know, I want to see a better return. I think that had a lot to do with why Mark Fields was outed and also why, you know, this new guy has chosen to do such a rash maneuver, because those rash maneuvers, if they're positive in the eyes of the shareholders, result in a bump in the stock. So, you know, it goes a little bit beyond just sales.
You know, it's funny. hate to say it. You and me both are going, this new guy. I can't even think of his name.
I know. I feel so bad.
You know? But so then I'm here. I'm actually looking at some of the comments from Facebook from friends of ours, people that we know. And,
sure.
And the scuttlebutt is that, you know, it's like, okay, so what happens to Lincoln? They just brought out the Continental, and, you know, maybe they're going to lose the Continental and the MKZ, which is their other, you know, automobile, their other car, because the Navigator, the Aviator, and the new, they have a new one. I think they just, you know, they just talked about in Beijing, wherever they're.
The Nautilus.
The Nautilus, thank you. Which, yeah. I mean, Captain, you know, Captain this, Nemo's I very think, happy. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, right. Taking on some giant squids. I think Lincoln is, you know, for what's going on, they're positioned okay. And that's in the context of what could they do to fix their position. And that's not much except for shut down their sedan lines. I wouldn't say shut down the Continental because they put such a big push into developing that. But that will be a niche car.
Yeah.
The way that the new Navigator is going to be their bread and butter, they've wisely expanded their SUV offering. So they can't do much to hurt themselves. I think they're doing the right things to help themselves. I think the bigger question is, what does this mean for Ford? And I think that, you know, just to come back to the core news about them shutting down the car lines, it's short-sighted because, you know, if you look at sales of little economical cars, what you're doing is cutting off the most affordable end of Ford's lineup. And Ford has always been positioned as sort of the everyman company. I've even talked to PR folks there that celebrate the fact that their cars are for the average Joe. Well, you just kneecapped their ability to buy an affordable car and gifted that to the import brands.
Yeah. Now, here's one little comment. It says, I believe the MKZ and Continental are officially on life support. Well, I'm reading out some stuff off of Facebook here, just within the automotive professional media stuff that, you know, so-called. Anyway, but that's all right. But Lincoln will lose MKZ and Continental, but will have the MKC, that's the other one we forgot about. MKC is their small SUV, Nautilus, Aviator, and Navigator, and probably some others. Navigator is making huge money. MKC does well. Aviator will sell, and Nautilus will also do well. Lincoln will survive and be greater than ever. That's from just one of my friends.
It's a good point. I mean, honestly, I forgot about the MKZ until you brought it up. I mean, that car has been such a non-factor.
I know.
In the automotive space that, like, that thing can, you know, what's the sound of one MKC or one MKZ falling in the woods?
Listen to this one. They killed off the V8 and rear-wheel drive so I could care less, and they are not a luxury brand anymore. Oh, this is harsh.
You remember, too, though, we have a lot of colleagues that project their biases onto the world. And it's funny because I came into the industry in around, like, 06, 07, and like that was right before the Carmageddon, the carpocalypse.
Right, right.
And what became exposed was how many Detroit apologists there are out there. There are people like, you know, sitting outside the burning building going, no, this is fine, because that they were just in love with Detroit cars. And, you know, it seems like this time around people are a little bit more analytical, you know, a little bit more critical of the American automakers. And hopefully, you know, that the automakers listen, because once again, I think it's very short-sighted for Ford to be shutting down these small cars.
Well, here's another one. Oh my gosh, this one. Ford car sales are not far behind Toyota and Honda, and sometimes ahead of Nissan. Dumb idea, Ford, to stop
I'm
building.
Telling you, it's the stock.
Yeah, I know.
It's the stocks are influencing.
Where can people find George Kennedy III?
You can find me on Boston.com, CarGurus.com. You can follow me on Twitter at GKens101 and the same handle for Instagram.
All right, brother. Good job. You guys can check out Kia Stinger. You go to Kia or just Google Kia Stinger, and you can see what it looks like. This is radio. Sorry, that's all I got. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned. Out
in my mind. Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Maybe you're asking yourself, who is that guy in the mirror? What happened to the guy with the brass knuckle attitude? Maybe he just needs to decide, is that a tie around his neck or a leash? Join the Brotherhood of Muscle with an available 485 horsepower Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger GT, the world's first all-wheel drive two-door muscle car, at the Dodge Drive and Discover event. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And right alongside the automotive expert, television and radio host, also BJ Killeen.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hello.
Oh, geez. Well, you know, I hung up with George and dialed you up real quickly, and I still don't know the name of the guy that's the president of Ford Motor Company right now.
Jim Hackett.
Oh, that's right. He's going to be out of there. I don't know.
I don't think so.
It's a funny thing, man. It's a big, giant thing he said about not making cars anymore and making only SUVs and trucks and things besides the Mustang and whatever that other one is I keep forgetting.
The Focus.
I can't focus on that for some reason. But can I get just your final thoughts here before we move on? Because I know that we've talked about this 2 weeks in a row. Do you think it was a mistake now that you've had a week to sit on it for him to even say that out loud?
No, I don't. And, you know, the Focus is a world car. It's a very popular car over in Europe and a lot of other places. So the Focus, you know, you have to think of the big picture. It's got a life way beyond what the United States has to offer it. And Mustang also is sold in like 149 countries or something ridiculous. I mean, you know, they're very popular vehicles where the other ones aren't so much. You know, they're mostly a lot of North American and market vehicles like the Fusion and things like that. Fiesta, you know, not making a lot of money anyway, so it's not a big loss. The Lincoln vehicles, you know, if they stick around, great. They probably won't because they're all on shared platforms. But, you know, these are...
You're talking about the car-based vehicles.
The car-based.
Yeah, the Lincoln, cars,
that's
yeah.
Right, the MKZ and the Continental. But, you know, you got to look at the big picture, and that's what, you know, CEOs are paid to do is look at the big picture and where's the money coming from. You know, Mulally was very successful because he had financed a deal ahead of time for money before everything else fell apart. So he had the good luck of timing in addition to being smart about what he was doing. And this guy, you know, Jim Hackett's probably doing the same thing. The only thing that's going to derail him is if gas prices shoot up. And, of course, we can never tell what's going to happen with gas prices. But, you know, you got cars, things like the EcoBoost and other vehicles for Ford that are economical, even though they're SUVs. So you've got the EcoBoost engine that's making great fuel economy and great performance. So I think that they sat down, and we don't know what their future plans are. You know, they're going to have other economical SUVs and crossovers. And I think that they're going to do fine. You know, everybody always panics when something happens. Oh, my God, the sky is falling, you know. But I don't think Ford makes plans lightly. I don't think they make decisions lightly. I think they put a lot of thought and effort into this, and we're going to see what happens. So in 2 years, everybody going, boy, that was a smart decision by Ford to do that. And GM probably be, yeah, I wish we had done it back then. So you never know.
You know, it's funny. It's like here's they bring in a guy to hack things up, and his name's Hackett, right? And it's funny. I'm sitting here listening and I'm thinking about this. And then I thought, you know, we have a doctor here in my town. His name is Dr. Slaughter, right?
Dude,
it's like, I don't go to a Dr. Slaughter. And then, of course, you know, I have a lot of kids and now a grandkid and a little boy. And they're talking about circumcision. And I'm like, don't take him to Dr. Stump. True story. It's like, if you're going to be a doctor for circumcising, you don't, his actual name is Dr. Stump. Anyway, you get the point. Hackett is hacking and Stump is stumping. Okay. Anyway, goodness gracious. Wow. And you know, what's funny is think about it. It's like Cadillac. And we talked about it, you know, it's like, man, they're like doubling down on sedans. They got like sedans coming out the rear end. So it's interesting to watch these different car makers moving their chess pieces around the board. Anyway, speaking of car dealers and car manufacturers and what have you, review of the Lexus RX 350L. When did you drive this?
I drove it a couple weeks ago in Los Angeles, had it for a couple of days because I wanted to get into it. Because, you know, the RX is a really popular vehicle. Lexus sells a ton of those.
This is the SUV, by the way, everybody. Yep.
This is the SUV, right? The kind of crossover SUV. And they wanted to get into the three-row market, so they had some more seats because they didn't really have a vehicle in that segment. And so they introduced the L, which is kind of like an extended wheelbase, and they threw a third row in there. And there's a lot of really good things about this Lexus, and there's a handful of things that are not so good about this Lexus. For The good stuff, you know, it's a Lexus, which means number one, you're going to get great service, hands down. You're going to have great quality. The fit and finish is impeccable. The woods they use, the leathers are absolutely outstanding. It's a very quiet vehicle, so, you know, you can drive down the road in a lot of comfort without a problem. It's really nice, so that's a big plus there, too. It's got a 3.5-liter V6 engine. 290 horsepower, 263 pound-feet of torque, and it's made it to an 8-speed transmission, which is really nice. You got decent power. You know, you're not, it's not the fastest vehicle in the world, but you're not trying to set speed records. This is a nice cruising SUV, which is pretty nice. The price is a little interesting. It starts at about $52,685. We had the RX 350L luxury trim. And by the time we got the as tested price, we were over $60,000. We were at 61, which is, you know, reasonable for a luxury vehicle. But when you look at it compared to some of the other competitors, you know, Lexus, they tend to kind of nickel and dime you on some of the things like blind spot monitor with rear cross traffic, braking, intuitive park assist, panoramic view, about $1,865. What's interesting is a lot of the competitors, you get the blind spot monitoring and rear cross traffic as a standard feature when you get up into the higher models. So that bothered me a little bit. And the fact that the cold weather package was not too expensive, but the hands-free power liftgate they were charging you for, and again, on most other vehicles at the upper end, it's going to be included in there. The biggest problem I have with this vehicle being a third-row vehicle is that the third row has very little leg room. It's almost like, okay, we had to put a third row in, let's put it in. And a lot of, if you read a lot of the other reviews of this vehicle, you'll see that we're all saying the same thing. You know, there's not a lot of room in the third row. So it's an emergency third row. It really wasn't designed, I think, to be the most. And you have to move the second row seats all the way forward to really get some decent leg room back there in the third row. So that's kind of tough on this vehicle. You know, the whole point is, yeah, it's a third row. It's really only about a little over 4 inches longer than the regular RX. So you're not gaining a tremendous amount of leg room back there.
But $60,000, and this could be what we're talking about with the cars. They build these cars, and everybody's trying to build cars for $18,000, $20,000, $22,000. Yeah. You know, it's like, then you can build something and charge three times the amount of money for one vehicle. Three times. You don't have to have three engines. You got one engine. You don't have to have three cars. You got one car. Three times the money. My guess is they're making a huge profit on these, and I think that has been proven out. And this is why it's going that way, but also because people want SUVs and crossovers. They want them more. They're buying them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that, as like I said, you know, to back up the Ford decision, people are buying SUVs. I was stopped at a light the other day and I looked around me and it was nothing but full-size, mid-size SUVs. I didn't see a car at the intersection. I was going, well, you know, this pretty much sums it up. Yeah. So the other thing about Lexus that we need to talk about after the break is how they do their infotainment and connectivity system.
Man, you're getting good. She heard the music. She's like, after the break. See, that's called a professional right there, right there. We just nailed it. Take a break. BJ Glean, you're the best. All right, we're talking about the, Lexus RX 350L. And we're talking about cars. This is a car show. If you haven't figured that out, cars, trucks, and SUVs. Sooner or later, like Car and Driver, we're gonna have to lose the word a car show. It's going to be a SUV and crossover show. It'll be SUV and driver. Anyway, we joked about that. We'll take a break and be right back with more. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by Dodge. They're domestic, not domesticated. That's for damn sure. Oh, sorry. That's not how they want their Stinger red, but that's how I'm doing it today.
Stinger, that's a Kia.
No, that's the Stinger bumper, you know. It just makes me feel like a man to drive my Dodge. Anyway, we were talking about the Lexus. I haven't driven a Lexus in a long, long time. You know that? I don't think
You got to get to Texas now. You know, they all moved down to Texas.
Yeah, but I don't think they like me. And maybe it's because I went, man, that might have been it. That noise.
Lexus is an interesting brand, too, because, you know, they're the upper level of Toyota. And so they obviously share platforms with Toyota. All the manufacturers share platforms, whether it's Honda and Acura and Ford and Lincoln and Toyota and Lexus. That's just the way it goes. But they've really done a great job building a reputation for customer service and for quality. And that's why they have customers who are so loyal. I have an aunt and a cousin that just, and my sister even, they're like, I don't want anything else. I want a Lexus. That's all I want. You know, they don't care about the price.
Yeah, customer loyalty is huge with them.
It is huge, absolutely huge. So Lexus has a good thing going for it. But they got to be careful because when you introduce vehicles like this and you get reviews that aren't that good, this vehicle may not be that successful just because, number one, of the price. Number two, the point is to give more legroom. It doesn't have that much. And number three is their infotainment and connectivity system. And we know how important this is, even more so than before. And you know that Toyota, for the longest time, didn't believe in doing Apple CarPlay or Android Auto, where everybody else in the industry is doing it. And finally, Toyota has put it on their brand new Avalon because they understand that this is what people want. Now, the problem with Lexus is they don't have it in this vehicle, and they don't have it in any of their cars. So hopefully they're going to get on board and start doing it. But Lexus, another dig on it, unfortunately, is that they have a beautiful 12.3-inch display screen where you can see giant maps and everything, but you control it through like a little mouse controller in the center console. And it's kind of distracting. It doesn't work that well. It's very touchy, and it really isn't a very good system. And I'm sure that Lexus is working on a new one for the future vehicles, but for right now, this is probably my least favorite connectivity system just because you have to look down to move the mouse. It doesn't move that well. There's a lot of things going on. And, you know, granted, you can still do the voice activated commands, which is what I ended up doing most of the time in this vehicle. But that is something that they really got to get a handle on. They really have to work at. Safety wise, this thing is loaded from top to bottom. You know, if you're going to be in a car accident, this is probably the one you want to be in because you're going to be very safe. It's a very strong vehicle, very big vehicle. It's built well. You know, hopefully you do more than a fender bender because that front grill is so big, that spindle grill, you're going to be replacing a lot of pieces on that grill.
Now, let me ask you, the RX350L, is that the car-based version, unitized construction, not body-on-frame like the Land Cruiser, right?
Right. This is basically the RX with a little bit stretched wheelbase and overall length, basically. Now, you know, fuel economy, again, when you get a big vehicle like this, this is a 3.5-liter V6, and we know, for example, that Lincoln's going away from V6s unless it's on their massive Navigator, and they're going more with the four-cylinder 2.3-liter EcoBoost engines, the turbocharged engines.
Wait a minute. I just heard the Aviator's going to have the twin-turbo V6.
Yes, it is.
Okay. But isn't that equivalently sized vehicle, though? Aviator?
No. You mean to this car?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about the same.
Okay.
It's about the same.
Okay.
But again, you're going to get a lot more horsepower, a lot more torque in the Aviator than you're getting in this vehicle.
Gotcha. What about fuel economy? You almost hit fuel economy. What is it?
Yeah, fuel economy, it's a 19 city, a 26 on the highway. Well, driving around town, we got 17. Yeah. And, you know, again, we're heavy on the throttle. You know, all of us are. Yeah. I mean, nobody's going, hey, let's worry about fuel economy. It's not our gas, right? We don't care. So.
No, but overall, I mean, you own a Lincoln MKX, right?
See,
that's right. I get them all mixed up. You own the small Lincoln SUV. That's, I'll say it that way.
Yes.
This is a little bigger because this has a third row of seats. Yours does not.
Correct.
Right. How did you like it comparing it to that vehicle? Forget about the third row, but, you know, I mean, they're kind of comparable. They both, didn't yours have a V6 also?
The regular RX is more comparable than my car is. But the truth is, I like my car better, obviously, because I bought it. But number one, because they have a great service at Lincoln called pickup and delivery, where they'll actually come and get your car and take it back and get it serviced and bring you a loaner in the meantime. And then when it's done, bring your car back.
That's a big deal.
So
I know, yeah.
It's a huge time saver. It really is. You know, I'm thinking, this is kind of a gimmick, but I've used it twice and I'm still at home. I can work. I can talk to you on the radio and my car's off being serviced and I don't have to sit.
You're in your car right now, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Theater of the mind, please.
Okay, I'm in my car.
Okay. Oh, boy, no wonder Lexus doesn't like me. I make that noise. We'll take a break. We're talking cars, SUVs, and crossovers here on The Drive. My new noise is... We'll be right back.
Go out and see what you can find.
Let's say you want to make a DIY repair on your vehicle. Where do you go? Where do you turn for advice? Alan Taylor here. If you're considering free online repair advice, you might want to consider the source. Instead of putting your vehicle at risk, rely on accurate, complete guidance from start to finish with the experts at Haynes. Every Haynes manual is based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. They learn the best ways to do the job and make it easier and cheaper for you. Available at most auto part retailers or at Haynes.com.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
All right, I won't make that noise anymore. Producer said, stop making that noise. All right, I won't make the noise. Leave me alone. You know, our show is brought to you in part by Haynes Automotive Repair Manuals. If you don't have one, you should. All right, he pointed at me. Haynes Automotive Repair Manuals, because today's cars are so complicated, if you don't have a proper repair manual, don't even lift the hood. Don't go under there. It's dangerous under there. But if you have a Haynes Repair Manual, HAYNES.com, you can go under there and you can do things because you'll know what you're doing. You'll be armed with a fully automatic brain that will help you to shoot down the problems, if you know what I mean. BJ Killeen is on the line. HAYNES.com. Haynes. They also have videos and things, guys. What are you doing next? Where are you going next? What's going on?
Okay, well, first I want to say that I posted the Jetta review is posted on the website.
Okay, the drive with Alan Taylor.com.
My blog. Yep. So that's good for people who want some more in-depth on that. I am headed off. Actually, next week we're going to the National Hardware Show here that you were kind enough to get us passes for. So we'll see what kind of cool automotive stuff they have at the hardware show.
What days are you going? Like Tuesday?
I think we're going the 9th and 10th. Uh-huh. So Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay.
So
right.
We'll see what they've got as far as that goes. Maybe some Craftsman news we're hoping to see there going on there, right?
So possibly so.
Possibly.
Can't
and then
say.
The week after that, I'm going to drive the Hyundai Veloster in Austin, Texas.
Oh, you didn't get invited to the Subaru thing, did you? I better not say
nah,
that.
Nah, Subaru doesn't like me.
Oh, well, we'll fix that. We'll fix that.
That's okay. Hey,
Subaru Ascent, by the way. Anyway, go ahead.
A Subaru loves you. Yeah. I know.
No, they don't love me that much.
They should.
Well, they sponsor the show, but you know when I make that noise, they don't like it. Lexus doesn't like it either. But anyway, go ahead.
So you got Subaru, and then you're going to. I think you're going with me also to the Veloster, right?
Very possibly.
Hey, I got something fun to talk about. You know, when everybody's always trying to find out what's going on with the manufacturers for future stuff, and Mike Levine, who is now in head of communications for Ford Truck. Used to run pickuptrucks.com. That was his website. And he used to do something that everybody's doing now, where he would go to the copyright and trademark office and search for Ford and everything. And he found a couple of really interesting names. So somebody else did that. And apparently the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office lists the name Maverick as being trademarked to the Blue Oval once again. So if you remember back in the
70s,
it was a Ford Maverick.
Sure.
It was a two-door kind of swoopy coupe that my friend actually had one. And so we may see Maverick, not on a car, I'll bet, but on an upcoming SUV. And they also trademarked the name Timberline, which sounds like an SUV to me, doesn't it to you?
Ooh, interesting.
I know.
So Mike Levine, look at you.
Well, he used to do that. I don't know what he's doing anymore. But now everybody, the same trick he used to pull, people are pulling on him. So I think that's kind of funny.
Because he works at Ford Motor Company. Yes, Mike Levine, look at you. I could say it like that. There, that's different. Same words, different twist. And I could also do this. We think we know something. That's funny.
So we'll see what comes out as a Timberline. If they even do, or maybe just a Maverick. Maverick might go to Lincoln, but I don't know. Because Lincoln had the Comet. The Comet was the sister vehicle to the Ford Maverick. And my friend, my good friend Scott, who I grew up with going all through college, he had a Maverick. And my friend Dale had a Comet. So we used to put them side by side and see what the differences were. But the Mav was really cool. So,
well, isn't that funny?
Bring back. Yeah. So we'll see what they bring back. So that's little spy work going on there.
I, by the way, am just of the new owner for 1 week of the Buick Regal Tour X all-wheel drive. Yes.
Wagon.
It's a wagon. What is going on with the wagons? People want to move their shiznit around wherever they go. They want to take it with them or move it around. So wagons and SUVs are in high demand right now. And Buick making a wagon. The last Buick wagon, I don't even know how long it's been since they had a Buick wagon. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Right, Buick and Jaguar with the wagon. I drove that last week. The Sport Brake, that was awesome, but it was $80,000.
Oh my goodness!
But it was awesome. I mean, it looked good, it sounded good, it felt good, it done feel good. It looked good. Anyway,
We grew up on wagons. I don't know if you did, but we grew up on the Ford Country Squire wagons, and we had Pinto wagons. We had a Maxima wagon. We had a Taurus wagon. We've had pretty much, when you got four kids, you need wagons. So back in the old days, anyway.
Well, it's because, I love wagons. You know why? Because bad girls. That's why.
That's right. You're a bad girl driving wagons.
You're a bad girl. All right. PJ Colleen, thank you very much. Check out her blog on the cars that she's been driving lately at thedrivewithallentaylor.com. We'll take a little break and be back with more.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time. All while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And on the phone from Kelley Blue Book, KBB.com. He is the executive publisher, or God knows whatever his name has been elevated to now. He's the boss over at Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader. His name is Carl Brower. Carl, I have some breaking news for you. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Did you hear that Tim Kuniskis, who is the head of passenger cars and all things FCA, has announced they will not build past 2018 the Dodge Demon? So we own one of the 3,300 only that will be built. Did you hear that?
I did not hear the latest on that, but I think he's been kind of saying that from the beginning. So, we're supposed to know that we're going to have a special one-off car, aren't we?
Yeah, well, I mean, you and me are of the 3,300 in the world are kind of the lucky few, you might say, because There are people that are like paying $50,000 over to get these. Imagine what this is going to do now that the announcement has actually been made. Now, I haven't heard it from him. I read it online. It was DuPont Registry or somebody that, you know, I just got the story. Somebody, one of my buddies, another guy that owns a Dodge Demon. So, I mean, it's like, you and me should know. I think one of us needs to call Tim Kaniskis. That's all there is to it. I will text him. I think that's great news, personally.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. So
I agree.
That's breaking news. Breaking news. Now to the ultimate test drive. Carl is actually in the car, you can hear, and he is driving a brand new Acura NSX. He is on a 300-mile, 400, what is it, 300 or 400-mile drive right now?
Yeah, I'm driving up to Santa Cruz, probably about 300-plus miles from South Orange County, so that we can start on the northern leg, coming back down for a drive toward a cure for Parkinson's disease charity.
Yes, I shall be joining you, and we shall all be together. I'll be driving in a Kia Stinger GT. We're going to have a race. I know you'll win, but that's all right. So, first impressions. I mean, so you're behind the wheel. I saw on Facebook, because we're friends on Facebook, that you are driving a beautiful silver Acura NSX. This car, to me, is stunning. I hope that it does what the last one did for everybody, which is to wow them from the day they, you know, hit the street until you can buy a used one, because I'm looking for one right now, a used one, any year.
Yeah, well, the original one, as you noted, is basically kind of like this historic moment in time now with the car in the automotive timeline. Everyone loves them. They love them because the looks really aged well. They love them because the car really aged well. It's a typical Honda product, so it never breaks. Like a Civic with a mid-engine, so you just drive it like a normal car and it goes forever. And they were really ahead of their time, and they still hold up even in today's world. I've driven an original one in the last year, and the car is still a blast to drive. So it's aged gracefully, and I think this one will do the same thing long-term for Acura. It's a far more advanced vehicle with a combination of electric motors and internal combustion and turbo engines, and then super heavily all-wheel drive that makes pretty much every Acura really amazing on handling and stability. But it's a fighting machine.
When you say super handling all-wheel drive, I've had many a people ask me, what is super handling all wheel? Is it their fancy name, or is it really something super duper, super califragilistic? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, I'm a huge fan of it, and it's funny because it's like the next evolution of the Prelude Type SH. So they used to have that in the early in the mid to late 90s, and that was a front wheel drive car, but it would actually send more power to one wheel or the other based on going around a turn. So if you're going around a turn, the outside wheel would get more rotation. It would turn that wheel quicker, which, as you know, would make the car turn sharper inland, you know, inward for you. So that was just a front axle system. That idea has been extended to all four wheels in the Acura Super Handling All-Wheel Drive. Which means if you go around a corner, it'll do both outside wheels more power and more rotation to make the car turn faster, and it can do one-off too, based on slickness or traction at a racetrack. It's really an amazing system.
Excellent. All right, hang tight. We're going to take a little break. We're going to find out a little bit more about the real-time test drive of the Acura NSX. Carl's behind the wheel right now on about a 350-mile drive. I'll be meeting up with him, and we're going to get involved with the Drive for a Cure. A friend of ours started, Deb Pollock, and we're going to see if we can't help her cause. It's a good one. We'll be right back. It is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
guys are listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, our show brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru, Subaru. We're talking with Carl Brower from Kelley Blue Book, KBB.com. He is on a real-time test drive of the new Acura NSX, super handling all-wheel drive. Carl, the big question is, what does a new Acura NSX cost, roughly, round numbers?
You know, it starts in the 150 range, and it's pretty well done at that point. I don't think you can make it cost too much more, but you can do, get more expensive paint, a couple little options here and there. But it's about $150,000, $160,000 car. And, Alan, again, the technology in this car, the super handling all-wheel drive we just talked about, that alone is one of the most advanced drivetrain systems that you can buy right now. But the fact that this particular car has three motors, plus an internal combustion V6 in it, really, it's an amazing combination. And I've driven this car on a racetrack, and it's as capable as any modern supercar I've ever driven, even ones that cost two, three times the amount that this costs. So Acura gets a lot of kudos for packing what, would be comparable to, say, a McLaren D1 or a LaFerrari, those are both million-dollar cars, into a $160,000 package.
And you have a Ford GT, albeit it is now, what are they, 95, 2005, 2015? Holy mackerel, your car is old, but it's still the
13 years old, yeah.
Right? They're still equivalent supercars, yours of its era and this of now today's era. Which one do you prefer the behind-the-wheel feeling of?
It's interesting. Again, they're probably they could be more diametrically opposed, right? Except for maybe having a lot of the engine in the middle. Mine is a rear drive, no electronic nannies, nothing but ABS separates it from a 60s muscle car in terms of computers helping to drive. This thing's got the most advanced computer system, and it's got electric motors on top of the internal combustion engine, and it's got all-wheel drive. So diametrically opposed in terms of approach. I would honestly say that I think the GT, my GT plus its manual shift, they're all manual three-pedal cars, which almost no cars are today, as you know. I would say that one is maybe a little more engaging from a pure experiential, the noises and the sounds and what you have to do with close to all of your limbs simultaneously to make it run right.
Right, more visceral,
just more visceral, good word. But this would destroy my car on any kind of a performance test.
No, don't say that. Don't say it, please.
Yeah, it would. It would destroy me on any kind of a racetrack situation because, like I said, I've driven both of them on racetracks. And again, mine will give you a thrill and you'll be giggling and all giddy as you're going around the track. But this one will be passing you while you do that. And it'll just be, very, very confidently and in a very refined manner, just happily going around you in your 2005 Ford GT as this thing just circles the track around
you. You know what? And listen, you can't complain when all that working together works so well. It's a miraculous feeling because it's hard to put words to, isn't it? It really is.
It really is. And I drove this at the Thermal Racetrack at one of the press launch events for it. And again, I was just blown away. And honestly, I was giggling too. Sage Marie from American Honda was in the passenger seat. I'm rotating this thing through corners, and it was pretty amazing. Super handling, all-wheel drive, doing its thing, and I could feel it doing its thing, and it was fun.
Are they available now? The new Acura NSX is what Carl's driving. Real-time test drive, Carl Brower from KBB. Where do you buy them, at any dealer or just particular ones? And are they coming out? How do you get your hands on one? Because like your GT, you can't, right? Can you buy an NSX?
Right. Yeah, no, the new GT is really exclusive and hard to get. These are widely available for less than a third the cost, because the new GT starts at $450. So and that would be a much better race. The new GT against this would be a much tighter race, but I think you can get one of these pretty much readily. Call your Acura dealer. If they don't have one or have a line on one instantly, you'll probably be able to order yours and get it in a matter of 6 to 8 weeks at the most.
All right. Well, listen, drive safe. Be careful. I will see you probably, you know, later on. We're going to be at the Drive for a Cure together. I'll have a much slower car, but a fun car. Carl Brower, KBB.com, Kelley Blue Book, driving the Acura NSX on the real-time test drive. Thank you, Carl. This is the right song for the way out. He is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I know a lot of these Ferris Bueller guys. We'll be right back with more.
Oh, yeah.
Craftsman is celebrating over 90 years of innovation. Since 1927, they've put hardworking tools into the hands of makers and mechanics. I've had Craftsman tools in my garage for decades, so I know firsthand that Craftsman comprehensive automotive tools and garage storage solutions will help you tackle your next project with confidence, whether you be a shade tree mechanic or a certified pro. So visit your local Ace Hardware or check out Craftsman.com to shop the latest hand tools, power tools, lawn and garden equipment, smart products, storage solutions, and a whole lot more. That's Craftsman.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, our next guest is Luke Schneider. No relation to John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard, I'm sure. He's the CEO of Silvercar, silvercar.com. It's an app-based premium mobility service that was recently acquired just last year by Audi. So, Luke, tell us, what is Silvercar?
Yeah, it's great to be on the show. And yeah, look, John Schneider and I were definitely not separated at birth. However, I did spend a good bit of my youth following them through Hazzard County,
right?
And hoping that the General Lee made it to that next small town.
Well, now I've had two Schneiders on the show here, so I'm feeling pretty good. Anyway, yes, tell us about Silvercar.
Yeah, well, Silvercar is really car rental the way consumers want to rent cars. It's a premium service where everything, as you said, is app-based, so you never have to stand in line, you never have to be at a counter. You reserve your car, you even scan into your car using your mobile phone. The cars are all premium cars as well. They are all Audis.
Yep.
You'll either reserve an A4 or a Q5, and they're fully loaded up with SiriusXM satellite radio. They've got in-dash navigation, GPS, and multimedia interfaces, and mobile broadband, Wi-Fi. And essentially, it solves the two big problems that have plagued the industry for years and made renting cars miserable for customers. That is never knowing what you're going to get at Silvercar. You actually get what you reserve. And the second is going through the hassle of standing in line and trying to pick fuel plans and insurance and GPS units that are worse than the one on your phone and all those things that make it a hassle.
I love this, man. So, I'm looking at your bio here. Your career began at Ford Motor Company, and since then you've served as chief technology officer at Zipcar. And also you worked at Flexcar. You have done a lot of stuff. Wait a minute. It looks like you have... You have built some products, including Zipcar's award-winning app. Dude, you are like on top of this technology stuff. The world is changing when it comes to cars and, you know, accessing cars. I mean, Zipcar is another good example of that. But, I mean, Silvercar and Audi bought you, man. That is amazing. And you're still the CEO, though, right? Is that how it works?
Well, that's what it says on the card and on the door out front. So, yes, we're marching fearlessly into the new world. But, yeah, it's been a crazy, you know, 20-some-year ride, and that's sort of been my career is at the intersection of cars and technology, starting with, you know, the caveman technology as a powertrain engineer at Ford, like you said, and, you know, going through to the car-sharing revolution that happened kind of in the early part of the 2000s, and even the integration of mobile phones and mobile technology into the whole transportation experience.
That's awesome. So then silvercar.com is where people can find out more information on it. Where are these silver cars available? And are they all silver? How do you like that?
As a matter of fact, they are all silver.
Okay.
You know, when we see them driving around, we just start to say, hey, look, there's a silver car in the wild. But they are now in 21 different locations, mostly airports, you know, sort of the, those major market airports, and in several downtown locations, places like Brooklyn or South Beach, Miami, on the west side of New York. And we are adding them more each month. We've actually added three already this year alone. The most recent one is in Orange County in California. Prior to that, Salt Lake City and Tampa this year.
So I download the app, I take it, and I'm kind of, am I done renting cars unless I'm not finding, you know, I'm in a small town where they don't have silver car, you know, services, you might say.
Exactly. Well, so yeah, you download the app, you reserve from the app, you can find all of the different locations you've got, you can pick your car, you can talk about what, you know, when you want to pick it up, et cetera. But the beauty of it is that the cars are all fully equipped. And if you need extras, like a car seat or a ski rack or something like that, we don't charge you extra for that. You don't need to pick a fuel plan. We charge you the price at the pump and then just a flat service fee. So the reservation process is just really simple. When you get to the airport or your destination, you know, the phone actually has technology in it that you use to scan the car. And that talks to the technology that we put in the cars to allow it to recognize you and unlock and let you jump in and go. So, indeed, renting a car is something that has completely been flipped on its head from something that was a horrible customer experience, something where, well, what we use to measure the success is something called Net Promoter Score. And most of the car rental companies have Net Promoter Scores that are somewhere around fast food chains and wireless carriers. Ours is actually about three times that, and it's right up there with some of the best and most beloved brands in the world,
awesome.
The Apples and Amazons and USAAs of the world. So we think we're having an impact.
Well, is it cost-effective? In other words, am I saving money? Is it a little more expensive, but I get better service? Give me 30 seconds on what does it cost?
Yeah, well, that's one of the best things about it, is what we charge you for is actually the value you're getting. Relative to other rentals, it's actually slightly less expensive on an apples-to-apples basis. Prices range from $59 a day for an A4, you know, to $79 a day, you know, if you get a Q5. But essentially, that's it. The pricing model is just about as simple as the rest of the model.
I love it. Well, I'm going to try it. You guys can check it out at silvercar.com. Luke Schneider, CEO of Silver Car. I think I need to get you on my entrepreneur show and talk about the rest of this story. It sounds like there's a whole lot more going on. Thanks for spending time with us, Luke.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right. We're coming back with more Chris Duke coming up next. It is The Drive.
I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Maybe you're asking yourself, who is that guy in the mirror? What happened to the guy with the brass knuckle attitude? Maybe he just needs to decide, is that a tie around his neck or a leash? Join the Brotherhood of Muscle with an available 485 horsepower Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger GT, the world's first all-wheel drive two-door muscle car at the Dodge Drive and Discover event. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, our show is brought to you in part by Craftsman. Yes, Craftsman. They are coming back like a storm, I'm telling you. Because, you know, they've been bought by Stanley Black & Decker. Chris Duke on the line, Motors TV, my cohort in crime. We went out to visit them, didn't we, Chris?
Yeah, Baltimore.
Man, I was. It's not anything we can tell the world about, but I was pretty freaking blown away, weren't you?
Yeah, they're just doing such a good job. I can't wait for the world to see what we saw.
Yeah, they're going to be unleashing the beast anytime soon. And as soon as we're able to tell you a little bit more about what Craftsman is about to do, we shall. All I can say is that those of you who have been Craftsman fanatics for many years, like my buddy Scott Colleen, who he was a dyed-in-the-wool Craftsman guy. I mean, he wore Craftsman underwear, Craftsman pajamas. He had a Craftsman watch, Craftsman hat, Craftsman
shoes,
and socks.
Wait, you're describing me.
Well, that you too. Yes. Well, okay, but he has you beat. You know why? Because I received a Christmas present from him that was wrapped in Craftsman wrapping paper.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And,
but does he have a Craftsman tattoo?
Do you? No. No, you don't.
I can't show it to you.
He doesn't have any tattoos. Anyway, but I told him, I said, man, when you see what they're doing with this brand, how they're going to kind of revitalize it and kind of, you know, make it more relevant in today's gearhead world and do some things that people have been asking for a while, all I can say is hats off to those folks. They're good people. And they sent me a little onesie for my grandson. So everybody, I had a grandchild. We talked about it last week. He's a week and a half old, but I got a little Craftsman onesie and his very first 15 millimeter metric wrench and his very first, I think it was a, maybe it was a half inch standard wrench that had his name engraved on, his birth date and his weight and his length. And it says baby's first wrench. And very sweet. Thank you very much to Craftsman people for being thoughtful. I mean, it's like, who does that? I don't even do that. I'm not even that cool.
Yeah, Mike, it was like a week before they sent that to you. Mike sent me a picture of one of them and said, hey, check this out. Don't tell Alan. Like, that's so
you
cool.
You knew about it, you butt.
Of course.
Oh, geez. Well, anyway, so there's something big in your world personally because I do believe there's a milestone happening next Wednesday. Is that right?
That is right. This coming Wednesday. It is the 10th year, the 10th anniversary of Motors TV. 10 years ago is when the first episode came out, May 9th, 2008. I can't believe it.
Good Lord. Right?
Older than I already feel.
Well, and let's see now. Over 200 million homes in U.S. and Canada on like seven or eight or nine networks, whatever the heck you've gotten it
on. I think it's nine. I don't know.
It's craziness, man. That's awesome. That's awesome. Cool. So for that, I understand, is the newest episode coming out on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday?
Yep.
Is this the one where the people are going to see the kind of the demon that I've been talking about?
Yeah, with the demon comes out to play in Alan's world. Yeah.
In Alan's world, that's right. What else is on the episode besides me?
Well, this is an educational episode on rotating tires, which is something that kind of leads into the next thing we're going to talk about, Car Care Month. But there's a lot to it. You know, there's a lot of tools involved. There's safety precautions and there's techniques involved. And a lot of people think it's just you get out there and you put your rear tires to the front and, you know, just rotate them that way. But there's a lot more to it. And so this is a very in-depth educational episode that covers absolutely everything you ever wanted to know.
Wait a sec. First of all, April was National Car Care Month. What the heck?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but we're going to continue the theme. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. This plays into it.
All right. Thing number one is, don't you rotate them like around the car? I just heard you say something front to back, back to front. Wait a minute, you mean I've been doing it all wrong these years? No, I'm joking.
You'll have to watch the episode. But yeah, a lot of it depends on, you know, the type of tires, all-wheel drive, front-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive, all sorts of things like that.
Yeah,
so.
Right?
Yeah.
It's so funny. I remember one time they said, well, you know, you can't rotate your wheels. You can only rotate your tires because your wheels something. I don't know what it was or – No, I know what it was. I had to take the tires off because they were directional tires.
Yep.
And it was like, I'm like, what? So this, of course, about a decade ago. But there are a lot of different things that can arise by, you know, don't just go out there and rotate your tires without checking on things like this. And by the way, a good resource for this kind of stuff, believe it or not, is Tire Rack, TireRack.com. There's an 800 number you can call. These guys know more about every single thing you'd ever want to know about tires than any peoples I've ever met in my entire lives. Nine lives like a cat.
And the first place to start is your owner's manual, because that will tell you for your specific vehicle what you should do. You shouldn't go to a friend, an Alan Taylor or a Chris Duke, and say, hey, how do I rotate my tires? Check your owner's manual, because it'll probably... Yeah, it'll probably differ from what we tell you.
Yeah. So many different kind of tires, you know, it's kind of crazy out there. All right, well, that's this episode coming up of Motors. You can find it at motors.tv and Motors with a Z, M-O-T-O-R-Z, not S, Motors with a Z, .tv. Let's see, what else were we going to talk about? So we went to Craftsman. We saw all of their new shenanigans and stuff that they're doing.
And all the new tools that nobody's seen yet.
No, don't talk about it. You're going to get in trouble. I'm telling you, you're going to get in trouble. You're walking that razor's edge, brother.
Okay, I know nothing. They don't have anything new.
Yeah, right.
It's just new owners.
Hey, did you remember how many different products Craftsman makes? I was blown away, weren't you?
Yeah, I can't remember.
It was like 65,000 different things.
I don't think it's that many, Alan.
I could be wrong, but I was blown away, whatever the number. 650,000.
I think it's like 4,000, no, maybe 6,000, somewhere in that range.
650,000 products.
That's right, because you got to think of all the little 10-millimeter sockets.
Right, all the ones that get lost. Oh, my God. So, listen, I was using a Craftsman jack the other day. My son lost the keys to one of my cars, and so I had to call a tow truck. Check this out. Mm-hmm. And so I got my Craftsman jack. I was like, oh, man, it's so nice having a nice jack, because I had to turn the vehicle around. It was in the driveway, and they said, you got to turn it around because it was a front-wheel drive car, and it's locked in gear, right? So the tow truck guy says, flip it around. So got my floor jack, jacked up the front, and flipping this thing around all by myself, thinking to myself, nobody's going to believe this. I'm out here turning my car around with a floor jack so a tow truck can pick it up. I felt so stupid. I didn't lose the keys. It was him. Anyway, tow truck guy comes over.
It's one way of doing it.
Yeah, well, here was the other thing. I say $15. They said if we have to pull it out into the street and rehook up, it's an extra $15. I'm like, I'm not going to pay $15 extra.
Yeah,
so I spent about $300 worth of my time, wrecked a pair of perfectly good pants. So I'm pretty sure that saving that $15 cost me, you know, I don't know, maybe $45, you know. All right, hold tight.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's over there at the dealer right now. It's going to cost me $250 to get a key made for a 2006 Ford Escape. $250! What happened to the good old days? I'll take a break. Talking to Chris Duke from Motors TV. This is The Drive, our show brought to you in part by Craftsman. Who else? We'll be right back. There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning, stylish, sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television, and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Man, I'm so pissed off. I have to pay $250 to get a key made. It's craziness. Who does that? I mean, you go down to Locksmith, you get a key made. Nope, there's a chip in it. They got to teach the chip so it'll start the car. It's like, no. Anyway, welcome back, Chris. What's going on?
You always play that song when I'm on, or do you just always play it?
No, I like that song. What's wrong with that song? It's a good song.
Well, I've got a little Alan Taylor trivia for you.
Go for it. Do it.
You've seen the movie Gone in 60 Seconds, right?
Yeah.
That's you.
Why? Why is that me?
That's how long it takes you to fall asleep.
Oh, that's right. We shared a room. We had to go to Baltimore, and it's like, you know, the rooms are expensive there, by the way, in Baltimore. What's going on with that? Anyway, so we shared a room. It's like I fall asleep. It 60 seconds is gone in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I started falling asleep yesterday. Check this out. This is funny. So he made fun of me because I'm like, I fall asleep immediately.
It's ridiculous.
Before I started falling asleep, my body started falling asleep and my consciousness was still awake. And it actually said to me, I'm falling asleep now. And I fell asleep. And then I woke up like 5 hours later and I went, that was weird. that my body was falling asleep before my mind shut down. Now, that's kind of scary stuff.
Gone yeah. Anyway, it's just really annoying when you're trying to fall asleep and you're already snoring after 60 seconds.
I just
had to say that. So.
Thank you for that.
Anyway, so yeah, playing into Craftsman tools and working on your vehicle. Yeah. April last month was National Car Care Month.
So what did you teach the world, by the way, huh?
What did I teach the world with what? Your 60 seconds?
No, last month you were supposed to be out teaching all the car care stuff. I'm joking. Anyway, continue.
Oh, well, that's what I'm doing now in May.
All right.
So, So I'm an ambassador for the GM Rewards Card, which is a Capital One Rewards Card where you can earn towards the purchaser vehicle of a new vehicle by spending money. And they spending money on your card. And they did a survey last month for National Car Care Month, surveying 664 licensed drivers. And it kind of tells us what we already know, that most people don't like to work on their vehicles. Most people take their vehicles to a shop. And, you know, now that it's warmer weather, winter's over, we want to promote, you know, working on your vehicle, getting out there and working on that, working on the problems that you encountered over the winter. Find out why your check engine light is on, for example, and get down and dirty with those Craftsman tools. But, I think a lot of people, I think it's 90% of the people surveyed, don't work on their own vehicles, and they take them to an automotive expert for service rather than doing the work themselves. And I think that's, and maybe you can chime in on this too, Alan, but I think that's because vehicles are getting so technical and there's so much underneath the hood that it's overwhelming. It's not just an engine underneath the hood anymore. There's a lot going on.
Well,
what do you think?
Here's the deal, and it's 100% right. I said earlier in the show, don't even crack the hood open if you don't have your Haynes Automotive Repair Manual, because the reality is you will mess things up. And I can tell you what happened. Carl Brower, who's from Kelley Blue Book, who's on this show often, you know Carl. He's like the top guy over there. He bought a Dodge Demon just like I did, and with the Dodge Demon comes a giant crate to where you can actually – make it get the whole 840 horsepower. You have to change out the computer, and there's some work that has to be done. And he thought, you know, what's that?
I said, it's involved now.
Yeah, right. So he thought, I'm a car guy. He used to work at Hot Rod Magazine. So he pulls the computer of the car out and replaces it with this newly flashed computer that'll make it, you know, get the 840 horsepower. And you also have to put in super high octane race fuel in it. And guess what? It wouldn't start. So he had to have it towed into the dealership. And, so you got to have your manual or your at minimum, I have the owner's manual, because there's things that you should not do. Like, some people don't know that these newer cars, you don't want to actually take jumper cables to them. You want to charge the battery, disconnect the battery cables, charge the battery, and then connect the battery cables back up. Because if you jump them, that'd be like jumping your computer in your house. Would you jump start your computer with a pair of jumper cables? No. You fry that thing out. So there's so many things you got to learn and know. And that's why, of course, this show is handy when it comes to that. Hey, I got to take another break, believe it or not. You made fun of me. Gone in 60 seconds. All right. I got to find just the right song.
Hold on.
Yeah, this will work. It's the Monkees, right? Where can people find out more information on Chris Duke, by the way?
At chrisduke.tv.
You had to think about that, didn't you?
And the ByPower card at bypowercard.com.
All right, you're too funny. Chris Duke.
What's my website?
Yeah. Also, by the way, you can follow him on Facebook and Instagram and all that. You're listening to The Drive. Me and Chris will be right back. Stay with us.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
Haynes manuals are now available in online format for all electronic devices. With Haynes Manual Online, you get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manual. Added features include the ability to enlarge every color photo, a keyword search function, and a detailed troubleshooting section. There are over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle online manuals to choose from, with more being added every day. Go to Haynes.com and enter your make, model, and year to find the Haynes online manual for your vehicle. You can do it for yourself. Let Haynes Manuals Online show you how.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by Haynes Automotive Repair Manuals, the worldwide leader of automotive and motorcycle repair information for over 50 years. They now have videos that you can watch. They're like $3.99 if you're changing the brakes or doing something and you're like, you're not 100% sure. Download one of their videos, watch it on your iPad, your phone, whatever, on your computer, so you know you're doing it right. And then make sure you crack open that Haynes manual, because you can do this. You guys can do this. It's not that bad. And so here's a good example. My son, was it my son or my son? One of the kids, I have kids all over the place. Chris Duke's on the line. Hi there, Chris. He says, what is the hourly rate of the mechanic? It was like $125 an hour. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. It's kind of, I think it goes, it averages anywhere between $100, $125 an hour, depending on the kind of car you're working on at the dealerships anymore, right? Mm. So if you think about what does it take to do something, 2 or 3 hours, 4 hours, you know, even if it takes the guy an hour, he gets to charge you what the book rate is. And the book rate on changing whatever is going to be 3 hours. He can do it in an hour. He charges you 3 hours. That's $300 or $375, depending on his wages.
That ain't right.
Dude, and then you got to pay full retail for the parts, full retail.
Right.
So, and it's just the way of the world these days. So you need to get something done that you could do yourself by spending $63 on parts, okay? $63, let's just say, an obscure number. Is that the right word? Point is, and then you do it yourself. Let's say you spend $25 on a manual and watching a video from Haynes. Perfect example here. Or watch Motors TV. Maybe we did it on Motors, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You could do this for under $100 instead of and this is on like a weekend or in an evening. Get one of your buddies to come over, crack open a beer. Ladies, same deal. Get one of your guy friends to come over, say, I need rear brakes on my car. Are you mechanically inclined? Yeah. Come on over. I'll make you dinner. Now all you got to buy is a chicken instead of paying $350, right? Honest to God, when I was growing up, I had a girl that lived across the street. She did that. She goes, I'll make you dinner if you fix my brakes. I'm like, thinking to myself, geez, all I've had is like crackers and cheese for a week. So I did, of course, and it was like nothing. It took me like an hour at the most. And so some of these things, they seem so complicated and scary. If you've got basic craftsman hand tools, like Chris, everything Chris does on Motors TV is the same thing you guys have in your garage if you've got basic craftsman tools. He doesn't have a big hoist. He doesn't have a plasma cutter. He doesn't have all these fancy tools. He's got the most basic stuff. You can go right down to any auto parts store and buy, whether it's Craftsman or any other brand. It doesn't matter. Basic tools. And you can do most of this work if you've got a great manual and if you've got a little bit of adventure in your soul. That is what is missing these days, Chris, is that little bit of adventure. People are so afraid. You know what? Take the chance. Change your brakes. It's only your life. I mean, make sure you have the right manual and the right tools. And then you know what? Go slow the first time you drive it. Give it a test. This stuff is not rocket science. It is so easy. Once you've done it once, you are going to be hooked in fixing cars and working on your own cars because it's kind of fun. There's a sense of accomplishment. Look at you, Chris, right?
Yep.
You did a television show because you started working on cars going, this is kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's changing brake pads is a pretty common thing and pretty easy, but on some vehicles it can be a little difficult, and that's why it's good to have your Haynes repair manual or just Google your year, make, and model on YouTube, and you're going to find some video that somebody did, whether it's Motors or somebody else, and they're going to show you step by step how to do it. And you can watch that to see whether it's something that you want to get involved with or take it to a shop to get that done. So it's not hard at all. And that carries on to other things like home repair. We had a leak at our house, carpet all wet. I immediately just went and ripped open the wall, saw where the leak was. I don't do plumbing, so I had a plumber come out, like a couple $100. And, you know, I had to do the rest. I'm going to have to repair the drywall. And I ripped up the carpet, dried everything out. I got to replace the pad. But, you know, the deductible for insurance was like $1,000. I'm going to get away with this job just doing it myself for, you know, under $250. So
why does Chris Duke not do plumbing? I'll tell you why.
I don't.
I've seen this man enough times to know he does not have a plumber's crack. He keeps himself nice and tucked away with a belt on. No plumber's crack cannot do plumbing. It's a prerequisite.
I have done some, but not copper pipe in the wall. I avoid that.
I'm only playing with you. Watch Motors TV, MOTRZ.TV, Z, as they would say in Europe. Chris, thank you, brother. What was that other
thing?
The Haynes Manuals. That's right. HAYNES.com. This is The Drive. We'll see you next week. Same place, same time. Yeah. No butt crack. No plumber's crack.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.